Barbarian tribes of Rome, the Anglo-Saxons, Anglo-Saxons and early Christianity. Now, this is a really relatively short one. We'll make up for a longer one next time. Now, it took a fair while to Christianize the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms. Not only was the pagan religion still strong, but even after the first Christian kings began the process of conversion, there were monarchs and subjects who would go back to their old ways. It was a difficult process, and it all started in 597 in Kent. The first Anglo-Saxon ruler to convert to Christianity was King Ethelbert of Kent. His own wife, Bertha, was of Merovingian nobility and a Christian herself, and he allowed her to restore an old Roman church and to worship Christ. The church he restored is the famed Church of St. Martin in Canterbury. Sometime after this event, Ethelbert wrote to Pope Gregory I in Rome and asked him to send over missionaries to begin converting the Kentish. This was done by a man who had become the first Archbishop of Canterbury, called Augustine, in 597. When he landed on the Isle of Thanet in the spring, though he wasn't initially too enthusiastic about his mission, Augustine still managed, with Ethelbert's approval, to convert 10,000 of the king's subjects by Christmas. That's 10,000 people in less than 9 months. By 601, Augustine had been trying to expand his mission to other cities. He appointed two bishops, Mellitus and Justus, in London and Rochester, respectively, but failed to convert most of his mission entailed. He died in 604 before he could see the new monastery, the Church of St. Peter and Paul, finished and operational. He was buried there and later venerated as St. Augustine of Canterbury, the first Archbishop of Canterbury and the apostle to the English. A little over a decade later, King Ethelbert died as well, leaving Kent in religious ruins as heathens and pagans began to reclaim authority. In later years, in 664, the Northumbrian king, Oswald, alongside the bishop St. Wilfrid, decided to follow the laws of the Roman Church and renounce the Celtic practices. According to their decision, discussed and accepted during the Synod of Whitby, the church was to answer only to the archbishop and the pope in Rome, not to the local monarchs. In addition, the Canterbury archbishops would, from the point forward, receive their palliums from the pope, and his tradition would remain more or less the same until the Reformation. Christianity was still very young, even two centuries after Ethelbert's bold move and Oswald's decision at Whitby. However, the Anglo-Saxon missionaries were already wandering the continent in order to convert the Frankish to Christianity. St. Boniface was an instrumental figure in the movement, and he began the urge for the conversion of continental Saxons as early as late 7th century, even during the last three decades of the 8th century, when Charlemagne was ruling over vast swatches of central Europe. The Anglo-Saxon missionaries were converting the local populace. Their missions were instrumental in Christianizing the newly formed German states, and every subsequent mission to other areas of Europe came from the Holy Roman Empire. On the one hand, it's a bit disappointing how little we know of the actual pagan customs from the times of the early Anglo-Saxons. It's additionally frustrating when we learn that a lot of their sacred places were either converted to churches or just outright leveled. Place names and archaeological remains can only take us so far, but in order to understand how early Anglo-Saxon pagans operated, we need more information. On the other hand, though, it's interesting how turbulent early English Christianity really was. There's really something fascinating about kingdoms basically waging war over who will convert or not in the early 7th century, and then suddenly sending effective and successful missions to Central Europe mere decades later. It is truly amazing to see how a new religion spread so fast in so small an area and then to influence an entire continent. Now, next time, we'll be talking about jobs and the division of labor amongst the Anglo-Saxons. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture, by Owens, Attila the Hun, by Worrell, The Burgundians, by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths, by Burns, and The History of the Vandals, by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.